Amen. Well, a very special greeting to all of our fathers here today and those that are online. Today, we want to express our great respect for all men who lead their families and those who accept the responsibility for their children and their wife. I'm going to preach about dads this morning, but you know, you can... There's something about a man. You can tell him you love him, that's one thing. But when you tell him that you respect him is another. And today, I want to thank God for men who can be respected in the office that God has given them.
Amen.
Today, I remember my fathers. My biological father died when I was only a boy as a result of the Second World War. I have very happy memories of him. Very happy memories. Even though he died when I was only 8 years old, it still brings me to tears from time to time when I see his photograph on the wall. I learned much from my stepfather, who's now 93 years old, missing him today in Melbourne. In a home, 93 years old, and I would just love to be able to go to be with him. He's unable to watch today. He has dementia, but whenever I walk into the room, he just looks at me and he says, "John," and that just thrills my heart. I learned much from my stepfather. He was very understanding as I adjusted to him. Up until then, I'd been the man of the family, even though I was only a little boy, up to 13 years old. I was the man of the family, and when my mother married again, I was no longer the man of the family. But I was also a teenager, and he was very patient with me, showed great wisdom as he raised me to love God. And it was a big family, six of us children. But at that time, I became the oldest of the family again, and I was a very confused teenager. So it's always good when you've got dads who can understand and see us through our difficult years.
Amen.
Amen. I want to greet the people that are watching here from Melbourne who were locked in, unable to go to church, and other places around Australia, but particularly Melbourne. We're praying for you.
Amen.
We know that you're hurting very much because you're unable to meet as a church. But there are some people who are celebrating this weekend because some of the border areas have been lifted. The church in Euston, which has only been inaugurated the last couple of weeks while I was there, church in Euston. Today, people from their church are travelling across the border to meet with them. And they have people from Mildura, Euston, Robinvale, and even down as far as Swan Hill. And as from what I understand, they're all going to be gathering together today. So we greet you, Pastor Wayne, and all of the saints of God. I know you'll be watching tonight. And we love you, and we appreciate you, the church in Griffith as well, and the church that meets in Thaguna near Aubrey. We send our greetings to all of you, and God bless you on this very special day for you as the borders have opened up.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, let us open our Bibles to our text this morning in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. The subject of my message this morning is in the image of God. In the image of God. Genesis 1, 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Now, we must understand this is not a plural. The Jews believe that the "our" here is referring to the angels, but probably the theologians more believe that the word "our" is a plural of majesty. People who are kings and people in high authority often speak in a plural. And this has been a fact through the ages. But it's clarified in verse 27. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And then, you don't have to turn to it, I'll read it in Malachi chapter 2, verse 10. It says, have not we all one Father? Hath not one God created us all? The Word of God makes it very clear there is only one Creator.
Amen.
And after he prepared the world as a place of habitation, he created man from the dust of the ground. Now, it's one thing to create things from the dust of the ground, but God did more than that. He breathed life into him.
That's right.
Man may be able to do a lot, but he cannot breathe life into someone.
That's correct.
So, ladies, we came first. And we don't know exactly how long we were on our own, but later on, God put Adam to sleep, and he took Adam's rib and created the woman. My wife always says, never forget. That rib came from close to his heart. And yes, that's the fact. He instructed Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. And that's the reason why we're all here today. So thank God. So since the birth of Cain, all of us have had an earthly origin, but also a heavenly origin. I want to just make a comment here by way of aside, and that is God did not make a mistake when he created man. And then later on have to amend his creation plan and make a woman. He did say it's not good that man should be alone, and that is actually a fact. It's not good. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. So God, in all of his knowing, knew that man could not manage alone. Why did he wait? He just needed Adam to realize that he needed someone to be with him. And yes, ladies, wives, that's something that's very important. We need you. That was right from the start. God planned it. He needed Adam to realize it, and we realize it.
That's right.
That we cannot be the men that God wants us to be unless we have a woman, a good woman, that will stand with us. Now, as I'm only saying this as a side, this word helpmeet has been so misinterpreted. Help meet. If the word help seems to jump out, you know, he's a help, a meet. In the Hebrew word, it's strange that the word help and meet are actually the same Hebrew word. They're not two separate words. It does not imply that someone was created for a man to do his chores and to be his servant. That's not suggested, even though a lot of people have written this and a lot of people have thought this. But there's one thing about this word, and that is it appears in other parts of the Bible. The same word, helpmeet, appears in other parts of the Bible. In Psalm 33, verse 20, it says, our soul waiteth on the Lord, he is our help and our shield. Now, is God our servant? Is he there to do our chores? No. Another one, and there's quite a number, Psalm 115, verse 9. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. It's the same word. So, ladies, I want you to understand, and men also, that God did not make the woman to be a servant, but to stand beside him. Because together they can win.
Amen.
Together they can win.
Yes.
separated, they will fall. Amen. So that's just a little bit on the side. And so today we can all celebrate Father's Day because we all have a Father in heaven. Amen. Some of us may have fathers that have passed on, and in that case we can thank God for the memories that we have of our fathers. In other cases, we were raised by a father who is not our biological father. The same, we can thank God for the sacrifice that they've made. Some of us may have bad memories of our fathers, but today I'm sure that God would have us to respect them. Honour your mother and father is a command of the Bible. Hallelujah. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? So if you don't have a biological father that's in this world, you can thank God that he loves you. He loves you. And I want to hit this point home today. Your God loves you. Yes, we come from a fallen and broken society. Our fathers have failed us. Yes, we all think, well, why isn't my dad perfect? You know, he's the strongest in the world, and he can do it. He can do things that nobody else can do. You only have to come to our place and hear young Daniel speaking during the week. Man, his dad is Superman. He's stronger than and Mr. America, and he gets in the garage and he gets on his weights. He lifts big weights, you know. So, you know, but later on when we become teenagers, we think we know more than our father. And we become very, very confused. We know all about everything. It's like the boy who said, well, you know, when I was in my teens, I thought I knew everything. But when I grew up, I realised that I knew nothing. It's very easy to criticise, and yes, I'm the first to admit here today, I've made mistakes in my life. I made mistakes raising my children. Every one of us men make mistakes. And we should remember that it's easy to see the piece of straw in another person's eye and not see the piece of timber that's in our own. Just wait, young people, until you grow up and have the responsibilities of raising a family on your shoulder. But today I just want to take time to cover a couple of things in the Word of God. I want to talk about good father figures in the Bible. These men were great men, men of great faith, but also the Bible tells of their weaknesses. The Bible doesn't hide from us that great men in the Bible also had their weaknesses and their failures. Just like we think our dads have got to be perfect, we think that because somebody's name is written in the Bible, in the Word of God, that they were also perfect. Well, you need to just look a little bit closer because, unfortunately, humanity is broken and fallen. But we have a God in heaven who is loving and forgiving, one who will work with us through trials and problems, family problems, life problems, work problems, whatever they may be. The first figure I would like to take is Adam. He was the first human father. And he didn't have an example. All he did is he had God as an example. He had very, very close fellowship with God, and he was very much aware when God was present. The Bible says, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. As this close relationship, unfortunately, was shattered because he wandered from the plan of God. He sinned. He actually introduced sin into the world. No doubt, Adam's weaknesses struck home very strongly when Cain, his oldest son, killed Abel. What a tragedy. How would we manage that? But yet, the Bible doesn't hide it. It's there for us to read. As great a man as Adam was, he had family problems. But God was willing to work with him. So what can we learn from Adam's life? We must take responsibility. First of all, we must take responsibility to instruct our families and to be careful to teach them exactly what God's word says. If you look closely in the Bible, the words Eve said were not exactly the words that God had instructed Adam. So Adam had not told Eve, his wife, exactly what God had instructed him. And that added to the fall. We must tell our children the precise truth. Tell it as it is.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. When I was a school teacher, teenage kids complaining in the classroom. You know, you're too hard on us. You make us do too much work. I'd say, I'm not paid to be an entertainer. I'm paid here to teach you. I receive wages so that you will pass an exam. And I had many, many students who came up to me after they'd done served a year under my teaching mathematics, who came to my office and thanked me. Many of my students had never passed mathematics before, but it all came down to discipline, expectations, and encouragement. And our children are not always going to like the instruction we give them, and they may not like the instruction that comes from the Word of God. There are no difficult questions. Ask my son. As difficult a question you may ask your father, the answer's in the Bible. And of course, he teaches us when we fail, we must not blame others. Eve said, the devil made me do it. And Adam said, my wife made me do it. That's not good enough. We cannot blame others and then find fig leaves to hide our facts. Also, he teaches us that fathers of integrity live with the knowledge that knowing nothing is hidden from God. The next great man in the Bible I want to cover is Noah. Well, we all know about Noah. Noah has always been a controversy over the years. After all, who can build a boat on their own that big? Well, Noah's life seemed to be a model of patience, persistence, unwavering faithfulness to God in the face of a faithless society. He was an evangelist. He not only built the ark, but he preached the coming of the end of the world, as it were. He faced terrible faithlessness in the world. And how could that even be more relevant than today? But Noah stands out among the fathers of the Bible as a man who followed God's instructions to the letter in a practical way. God told him precisely how to build that ark, and he spent nearly 100 years building it. This is unbelievable. And he followed God's instruction right down to the letter, but had never ever seen a flood. What faith that he would step out and do with that. He bravely carried out the task God assigned him. He endured many years of labor building the ark, which he knew would save his family from destruction. Fathers, what are we willing to do? To what extent are we willing to stretch ourselves so that we will save our families from destruction? Amen. And Noah was far from perfect. He had his faults too. This was borne out in the fact that when he was drunk one day, His drunkenness caused one of his sons to fall into sin. However, overall, he was humble and very protective. Fathers often feel they are performing a thankless task. It's a life of repetition. Get up in the morning, have breakfast, go to work, work hard all day, come home, solve the family's problems, help get the children into bed. I was never had the privilege of working in the kitchen. My wife won't have let me in the kitchen. But go to sleep, and then it's all repeated again. But men, I want to tell you that God created this way to provide for our families, to support our families. As thankless as it may appear and as repetitious as it may appear, what can Noah's life teach us? God promises to bless and protect those who faithfully follow and obey him. He promises. If you obey him, he will protect you. He also teaches us to stay away from intoxicating substances. Yes, I'm not saying that's the way that Noah lived, but he certainly made a mistake on that account. Now let's quickly look at Abraham. Father Abraham had many sons. We sing about it. He was the father of the nation of Israel. He was a leader of tremendous faith. He passed one of the most difficult situations anybody could ever face. Because when God tested his faith, God said, I want you to take your son, your only son Isaac, and I want you to sacrifice him upon the altar. Now, this seemed to go against what Abraham believed, and certainly against what God had instilled in the people. That was Moloch. That were the traditions of Moloch to sacrifice their children, certainly not Jehovah. But this was a test. This was a test. And we see that Isaac went with him, and they went to the mountain, and Isaac said, Dad, where is the sacrifice? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself a sacrifice. Now, there's a lot in there. We can't preach that today. Right to the very altar, raised knife and everything, Abraham was willing to follow the instructions of God, knowing that whatever happened, a faithful man knows that whatever happens, God's going to be in it to be with us and to help us. Yes. But he had said God will provide for himself a sacrifice, and there at the very last minute was the ram that was in the thicket. Amen. Boy, I reckon Isaac would have had a story to tell when he grew up, wouldn't he? I saw my dad there with his knife hovering over me, and yeah, and I even helped him build the sacrifice. He heard the voice of God on many occasions, and he always acted accordingly. This is a real man of God, and God was not afraid to call him a friend. But you know, Abraham made mistakes as well. Father Abraham, yeah, Father Abraham, he made mistakes. As much as we want to just believe the Sunday school stories that we hear, we don't often teach the mistakes of these men in Sunday school, but they're in the Bible. He really relied upon himself. He created a tremendous mess because God had promised him a son, and that his seed would be at the sands of the sea. And he said, well, look, God, time's going by pretty quick, and I haven't seen or realised this promise that you've got. I think I'm going to do it my way. And so he took the bondwoman and had a child called Ishmael. But God had promised. And God's promise was still going to be worked out. And it had to be a miracle at that age of their life. But God worked out that miracle. This man embodies in him the example of a true father. Because brothers, whether you're out there or in here, so often we are impatient and feel we need to take things into our own hands. We have good reason. We think, I need to do this. I need this to do this for the benefit of my family. But I want to tell you here today that if you trust in God with all your heart, He will not leave you desolate. He will not leave you in a hopeless situation. He will step in. And you'll be able to see with my own very eyes, I saw a miracle from God. Amen. What can we learn from Abraham? God wants to use us despite our failures. He is always ready to rescue and support us through our foolish mistakes. To put it in the words of the world, God just doesn't give us a flick because we make a mistake. We don't want to make mistakes and we should not make mistakes, but we will make mistakes because we are fallen. But God will work with it. The next point is sincere faith pleases God. Now, this is the important one. God's purposes and plans for us are shown to us in phases over a lifetime of obedience. You don't get the developed picture of your life just because on the minute you snap the picture. God has your life in His mind. He knows what He wants to work through you. And when you get to the point of time, He reveals the next phase to you. But until you go through that phase, you cannot see the next phase after that. When I look at my life and some of the things that where I had to wrestle with God and fight against God, I don't want that. I don't want that. And then the Lord showed me clearly, well, this is what I want. And then to have to do what God wanted me to do, but then later on realizing, wow, that's amazing. It was all in God's plan, and God is able to use me now because He took me down that path and through those experiences. Then there was Jacob. Jacob, the brother of Esau. Esau and Jacob. Jacob was a schemer. He tried to work things out his own way instead of trusting God. He took advantage of his brother and stole Esau's birthright. Jacob ended up having 12 sons, but there was a big problem in the family. As a father, he favoured his son Joseph, presenting him with a showy coat of many colours, causing jealousy among the other brothers. There's a lot of, I mean, we read over it, but there's a lot of very unwise behaviour in this family. You know, just imagine Joseph walking out with this beautiful coat that none of the other brothers had ever got, a coat of many colours, you know, and flashing it around in front of his brothers. Look at Daddy gave me. Well, in Genesis 25, verse 27, it says, and the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. Esau was special because he was a hunter, the real man. But Rebekah loved Jacob. This was a division in the family. This favoritism didn't help Joseph when he unwisely, no doubt, with his mother's support, stepped out and said he was a special boy. Now, he was. That was in the plan of God. But it's one thing to be in the plan of God and another thing to be unwise and go bragging about what God's done and God's going to do and all the rest of it. And you see, he stepped out and he said, I'm special. You're all going to bow down to me, and even mum and dad are going to bow down to me. No wonder he ended up in a pit. I mean, just think of it from an earthly point of view. Wouldn't we be part of this? If somebody bragged and tormented us with a colourful coat, well, that colourful coat went in the pit. And he ended up in slavery in Egypt. But God was still with him, the son. You see how God works things out? And yes, I would tell you right now, if you read the Bible, Jacob's life was not an easy life. That's what can we learn from Jacob? God wants us to trust him so we will benefit from his blessings. Remember that Jacob wrestled with God? Yeah. Well, the fact is, any fight we may have with God will end in a losing battle. But there was something that came out of that fight. We often worry about missing God's will for our life. However, if we remain faithful to God, he will work with our errors. There it is again. Faithfulness. But if you make errors, God will work with you because of your faithfulness. You're saying, it doesn't matter what happens to me, what comes across my path, I will serve God with all my heart. I will remain faithful to him. Oh, that's powerful. Amen. Never lose faith in your God. Trust him for his promises. God's sovereign will. His will is sovereign. And your mistakes won't mess up his plans. Don't think just because you make a mistake that God's plans are on the heap. No, you cannot mess up God's plans. And finally, parents, do not show favoritism to one child over another. Favoritism can tear families apart and impact on generations. It's most important. Do not play favorites. I was going to talk about David. We all know a lot about David. He had such a troubling life, such a great man, specially chosen by God to be the king of Israel. But I'll skip quickly to Joseph, the father of Jesus. Well, he had problems he didn't even plan to have. He found a lovely lady called Mary and became engaged. And then she was found pregnant. And he knew that he wasn't the father. Yet he didn't reject her. He didn't shame her. He seemed, I believe, seemed to know that there was a plan of God in this. And once again, he was a faithful man. And after the birth of Jesus, he then stepped out at the word of God, protecting Jesus and his wife, and took them to Egypt so that they would avoid the slaughter. He took the responsibility of raising Jesus. Yes, he trained Jesus in a vocational trade. He, even though there was something very special for the life of Jesus, he stepped out and became involved in Jesus' life. He was a righteous man. Although a guardian of Jesus, he was faithful to God, he was honest and kind. We can learn from Joseph, we can learn God honours men of integrity and blesses them with trust. Obedience may result in humiliation and disgrace before men, But close friendship with God works God's glory. Don't worry about what people are saying. Don't worry about their faces. Just do what God wants you to do. So finally, I come to the image of God. In the image of God. In the image of God. This tells us we're not alien to God. So often we think that God is alien to us. He's somewhere out there in the mysterious deep space. How can we touch him? How can we reach him? But yet, when he said, when the Bible says we were created in his image, God's very attributes were placed in us. They were instilled within us so that we can reflect the glory of an invisible God. Fathers, it's good to realize that the love you have for your family was inherited from God who loves you. It would help us to understand that when we look at our children, we've seen it on the screen, we love our children. We absolutely adore our children. But where did that love come from? It came from God himself. That's part of the image. So why not turn it back on yourself and realize that's how much God loves you? In fact, he loves you more than you could ever possibly love your children. Same qualities, generosity, protection, God has put them in us. His own image has been stamped on us because God cares for us. Our Heavenly Father is the ultimate model. Do you forgive your children? What would they have to do? What would your children have to do to make the situation unforgivable? I don't think there's anything. We always forgive our children. They're family. They're biologically of us. Of course we. Doesn't matter what they do. And we need to realize that that's God's attitude towards us. Forgiving. Wanting to forget. When our sins are cast into the depths of the sea, they are remembered no more. You may remember them, but God remembers them no more, because the Bible says he will separate our sins as far as the east is from the west. He remembers them no more. That's our God. Amen. And you forgive your children. You persevere with your children. Yes. You provide for your children, even though they may be naughty. We think, well, how could I ever live up to the standard that he has given us, has given me? Well, I want to assure you that by his mercy and continuing forgiveness and understanding, we are not failures because our God is with us. Amen. What can our Heavenly Father teach us? He never changes. Now, fathers, we need to be like this. When you raise your children in wisdom, do not allow changes. When God says, this is what I want, that is what you must do. My children will tell you that. Stubborn, yes, stubborn. But when it came to the word of God, very, very stubborn. But Dad, no, this is what the Bible says. And children, they harp. They harp and they harp and harp because they just try to wear us down. But the word of God cannot be worn down. We must stand firm. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You need to say that. Put it on the wall. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord and nothing will step in the way. Amen. You can be depend upon God. And fathers, we need our family to be able to depend upon us. God is faithful. He cannot be unfaithful. He is love because his love is perfect. And Jesus, who was God manifest in flesh, is our best example. As I finish, I want to finish with a little poem, a lovely little poem which I found this week. It's actually a prayer, or it could be a prayer. With these three words, dear Heavenly Father, I begin my every prayer. But the man I see while on bended knee is always like my earthly father. He is the image of the Father divine, reflecting the nature of God for his love and care and the faith he shares. Point me to the Father above. Fathers, we have a very important role because in us they need to see the image of God. Amen. To lead them down the paths, difficult paths of life. And we all know, those who have gathered here today, know it's not an easy path. Even though it's narrow, it's easier than the broad way. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Trust in the Lord to make you a good leader. Happy Father's Day. I know I've preached to fathers today, but I'm a father. I know how difficult it is, but I also know how wonderful God is and the great help he can be. Thank you, Pastor.